Okay, what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to present a model that I recently tried to submit, and then present how it performed on structured soils and high clay soils as well. And I might stand up here and feel like an idiot now after the last talk with if we can use a dry point and linearity, but let's see how it goes. First of all, I would like to predict the entire soil water retention curve, and then you might think, do you really need another model? I believe we do, because we have a lot of models to predict the wet part, but do we have for the entire curve? Not really. And the entire curve consists of adsorptive and capillary forces. So what we want to do is we want to predict the dry region based on adsorptive forces, and then the wet region based on some capillary forces, and then apply a continuous function in order to obtain this the full curve. And then many of you know van Genugten model, and we use Fredlund and Singh 1994, which is basically a modified van Genugten model. It has the same amount of parameters, and it goes all the way through. And our idea is to predict some single points in each region, then apply this model. First of all, the method we used first to develop the model, we used 21 soils that were all disturbed to have a control environment. Then we used the vapor sorption analyzer, which basically was presented before. Also, to get a higher matrix potential, we used the VP4T, which is manual, same concept basically as the vapor sorption. You just have to do all the work yourself, which goes to a negative of 1 megapascal. Then we used Tempi cells for the dry region, where we saturated the sample and then drained them. And we used these 21 samples that had a high, they had a lot of different textures, going from sandy to clay and silty soils. And we used these 21 soils to develop the model. Then today I want to present basically 45 soils we used for model evaluation later on. Same concept for the dry region. The soils had 4 to 14% organic matter, so they had a higher possibility of being very, very structured. And then we used sandboxes and pressure plates for the wet region. And again, a lot of differentiation in the texture. First of all, the adsorption. Then maybe now I'm an idiot. But we found it to be linear in the dry region between water content and the log to the matrix potential. And we found that oven dry was around 800 megapascal, negative 800 megapascal, around PF 6.9. And then in order to predict the dry region, we looked at in the literature. There's a lot of clay models that basically predict the clay content based on water content. So we want to do this, but just convert it a bit. So we use the clay to predict the water content. But most of these models exclude organic matter, which we heard has a high influence of the specific surface area for the soil. They also all exclude silt, and we found that silt actually has a high impact also for the dry region. And based on these 21 soils, we saw that as the water content at 100 megapascal, or PF6, as a function of clay content, basically we saw we had this fine regression line. But the low silty soils were below the line, and the higher silty soils were above the line. So we tried to see if we can predict this more accurately. And we found that if we use 2 multiplied with organic matter and 10% of the silt content, and then, of course, a regression line in front of it, we saw that we got a better prediction. And then basically just saw that we had this linearity in the dry region, and we can predict some points in this dry region. And what we did is we basically used these 5 single points. And then for the wet part, we could have used another model that was out there, where we tried to come up with our own, and where we used a common method by Araya from 1981 that basically multiplied each particle fraction in the soil, a gravimetric particle fraction in the soil, and then tried to get the volume of pores you get from these soils, volume you get from each fraction. For instance, if we have the coarse sand, it's 20% of the coarse sand, then 20% of the volume you have in the soil matrix is you get from this coarse sand. And then a common method is basically just to use the particle size, and then the radius of the particle size, maybe some bulk density, maybe some contact angles, then it starts becoming more complicated. But you can use this, and then you can try to calculate this pore size in order to obtain the matrix potential. But what about the mixing of large particles with small particles when we use this concept of area? Well, it doesn't really take into account this mixing, so we want to try another method where we said, okay, we have an average of the pore, an average pore size, basically 30% of the particle size, and which we have down here. There's no mouse, but that's what we have here. And then we used the Araya model, where we just set power to the X, where we tried to see if we can get up with a model that basically can predict it based on average pore size. And what we found is that we actually can, if we have this to power to the 2. So what we have from this figure over here is basically this function of the particle size and a function of the volumetric particle size again. And then we had this fine model that actually seemed to be working on these 21 disturbed, easy-to-work-with soils. We tested this on five different matrix potentials, but it was not tested below 100 kilopascal. And also, it might stop working, this wet part, because of adsorption becoming more dominant if we decrease the matrix potential. But a little results is basically we saw that we had this linearity in the dry region between the matrix potential, the water content at matrix potential 100 megapascal, the matrix potential 100 megapascal and the water content. And we saw that if we have 11% clay content, it increased fine with the water content, which basically makes sense because of the specific surface area. If we did the same thing for organic matter, and we kept sort of the clay content and the cell content constant, we saw the same thing, of course, because of the specific surface area. The same thing happened when we did with silt. So, of course, silt has a contribution that we might take into account. Of course, with this dry part, we haven't taken into account this the oven dry or what is the oven dry, but we're looking into it and see if we can predict a point also more close to the dry part veins or texture. But what we saw is when we applied this model I presented to you before, is that based on the Arizona soils, we had the 21 soils, they predict the water content a little higher than what we saw from the Danish and German soils we presented. And that might be due to clay minerals. So maybe we have to add this extra point based on clay minerals also. At least we saw this, but it could also be due to too high silt contribution. We don't know. For the wet part, we saw a very good prediction, actually, even though that the model was developed on disturbed, repacked soils. We found this on intact core samples that it was actually working with a root mean square error of 0.05 for these soils with 4 to 14% organic matter. But what we saw is that basically the bulk density affected the prediction accuracy. So what we have is if we have a low bulk density, then basically we sort of have more structured soil, and we overpredicted the water content, which of course made sense. But we also had it if the bulk density was increasing, then we underpredicted the water content. So this might be something we have to look further into. Then, summary, what we want to do is basically predict 5 points in each region, and then apply this Fredlund and Singh model, and just want to shortly introduce it. This part is very similar to the Van Genoten model. It has an A, N, and an M parameter, so it's easy to apply. The other part is actually just a function of matrix potential. So it only has these three parameters, and then we can get the entire curve. We applied this model to all our samples, from high organic to low sand soil and high clay soils, and it seems to be working. So what we get is basically this is the measured soil, soil water characteristics, these points, and then we have our model, and it was sort of fitting. This is just a random soil, but we underpredicted some part here due to this linearity where we have here, but we underpredicted basically, we overpredicted some of the water, and that is, you can see that further down. But the model could also predict high organic matter, so we have 10.3% organic matter here, which seems to be working. So some part of this model seems to be working quite well. For a conclusion, is basically what, well, we found that this Bretton and Singh model was quite all right. The model seemed to be working, but we should look further into the silt impact on water retention, especially in the dry region, and then clay mineral. And I believe now that we might look into this clay mineral to get the extra point. So have 1 point to predict this area around negative 100 megapascal, and then maybe look into the clay minerals to find another point, because we have been looking into trying to use texture to predict another point. But it seemed to be very random. It wasn't organic matter that had an influence here, or clay content or silt. It was just very random to predict an extra point. So that should be clay content, maybe minerals, as was discussed before. And then bulk density for structured soils, and especially close to saturation. Thank you. So this is undisturbed samples we have here. It's just intact core samples taken from the field. All the 45 samples, the results I presented is all from the 45 samples taken from the field directly, intact core samples. The model was developed undisturbed, where we repacked them.